This is not going to be a pleasant experience. You're going to see and hear things that are not going to be very nice.
Experts divide serial killing into two general types, organized and disorganized. An organized killer brings everything he needs to complete the murder. A disorganized killer improvises.
Begin. Listener discretion is advised.
Sherry Rasmussen was 29 years old, and she worked as the director of nursing at the Glendale Adventist Medical Center. Sherry was a bright and ambitious woman. She went to college when she was just 16 years old. She first became a nurse when she was 20 years old. Sherry lived in a condo with her husband, John Run, in the Van Nuys area of Los Angeles, California. The couple had only been married about 3 months. Sherry and John met at a party of a mutual friend in 1984, and they started dating. They were married on November 23, 1985. The couple was supposedly happy and still in their honeymoon phase. On the morning of February 24, 1986, John, who was an engineer, went to work. Sherry called in sick and stayed home that day. That evening, John returned home and instantly noticed that something was off. The garage door was open, but Sherry's car was not parked inside of it. Sherry's car was a BMW. John bought her the car instead of an engagement ring because she thought it was more practical. Also, there was glass on the pavement in front of the garage. John parked his car and went inside the garage. Upon entering the condo, he saw some flecks of blood on a wall. He then walked into the living room. On the floor was the dead body of his 29-year-old wife, Sherry. She had been savagely beaten in the face. Also, she had been shot 3 times in the chest. Finally, there was a bite mark on her left forearm. She was wearing a robe, a sleeveless shirt, and underwear. John called 911 and told the operator that he had found his wife dead. The police initially thought it was a robbery gone wrong. The problem was that, besides the BMW, the only item that was missing was John and Sherry's marriage license. The detectives thought it was possible that after killing Sherry, the robber simply got spooked and fled. But the police did consider the possibility that someone closer to Sherry killed her. The detectives interviewed John. He was a person of interest who needed to be eliminated. John was considered a person of interest because when someone is killed, their romantic partner is usually the first person of interest in the case. Secondly, John was the last person to see Sherry alive. John denied having anything to do with his wife's murder. Since John had been at work all day, the police thought he had an airtight alibi, so they eliminated him as a person of interest. John was asked if he and Sherry were having any money problems, and John said no. Then he was asked if they were having any problems with any ex-boyfriends or ex-girlfriends, and once again, John said no. 10 days after the murder, Sherry's BMW was found about 2 miles from their home. No viable clues were found inside of it. The detectives on the case eventually developed a theory as to what happened. Sherry was upstairs. They came downstairs and found two men robbing her home, so they killed her. A few weeks after Sherry's murder, two men broke into a home about 3 blocks from Sherry's condo. The resident was home at the time, and one of the men pointed a gun at her. The resident ran from the house. The men left without stealing anything. So, to the detectives, this confirmed their theory. But no arrests were made in either case. Sadly, it wasn't long before Sherry's murder went cold. 1986 was a bloody year in Los Angeles. 831 people were murdered. That's more than 2 people a day. With so many homicides, Sherry's killing was simply chalked up to another murder that would probably never be solved. After the murder, John quit his job and he moved away from Los Angeles. In 2004, during a routine examination of cold cases, an analyst looked at Sherry Rasmussen's file. She noticed that a swab had been taken from the bite on Sherry's arm, but the swab was not listed in the evidence. She found out the swab had not been stored correctly with the evidence. She managed to find the swab during a search of one of the freezers, but it had been badly damaged. Despite this, a forensic expert was able to get a DNA profile from the swab. It was entered into CODIS, but no match was found. But the DNA did have a significant impact on the case. The initial theory was that 2 men broke into Sherry's home to rob it, and she was killed when she came downstairs and discovered them. It turned out that the DNA from the bite mark was from a woman. So the theory about 2 male robbers couldn't be true. But because there were no female suspects written in the file, nothing would be done with the case for nearly 5 years.
Here is a quick word from our sponsor.
We take this few seconds off to inform you, our valued loyal listener, about the best health and fitness podcast shows from the Nespod Studios. Join us as we give you the best of the best health and wellness updates you can rely on for the treatment of chronic health problems. Classic functional medicine, back to basics health tips, and special updates from the best doctors in the United States of America. Check out this health and wellness podcast shows. Explore Health Talk Weekly, Healthy Lifestyle Matters, Excellent Health Digest, Healthy and Free Daily, and last but not least, Weekly Health and Fitness Corner. Also, check out Nasty Boy CC, the truest story never told fiction podcast, for that real life on the go experience with the 27-year-old golden boy, who made our guest invite number one list. He tells us about his story as it happens in real time and in real life. It's Nasty Boy CC, the truest story never told. Go get a load of that happiness, because happiness is healthy as we know it. Join us every week as we continue to provide you the best of health and fitness wellness updates from around the globe. Enjoy the show.
The case was finally reopened in February 2009 by cold case investigators. When they looked at the case, they didn't think that Sherry was killed by robbers who were surprised to find her at home. They think that one killer most likely got into her home through the front door, which was left unlocked. The killer went upstairs and fired 2 shots at Sherry, but missed. Sherry ran downstairs and the killer chased her. Sherry and the killer fought, and Sherry managed to get the killer in a headlock. Then the killer bit her. The killer picked up a vase and smashed it into Sherry's face. The killer then shot Sherry in the chest. The killer then got a pillow, held it against Sherry's chest as a muffle, and pumped 2 more bullets into her body. The detectives did not think it was robbery gone wrong. Instead, the person went there specifically to kill Sherry. They wondered who would want to kill Sherry. There was a note in the file that read, John Rudden called, verified Stephanie Lazarus, P.O., was former girlfriend. They thought the P.O. might mean police officer, so they looked at the LAPD department directory. There was a detective named Stephanie Lazarus with the Art Theft Division. She had been with the LAPD for 23 years, and she was a highly respected detective. She was married to another detective, and they had an adopted daughter. In 2009, the cold case detectives talked to John Rudden and asked him about Stephanie. John and Stephanie met in the autumn of 1978 when they were both students at UCLA. John said that during college, they made out several times, but they didn't have sex. John graduated in 1981, and it was only then that he and Stephanie had sex. John graduated in 1981, and it was only then that he and Stephanie had sex. After Stephanie graduated in 1982, they continued to date, but John thought of the relationship as a casual one. They didn't see each other daily.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Instead, they saw each other two or three times a month. John thought that between 1981 and 1984, they probably had sex 25 to 30 times. John said he never thought of Stephanie as a serious girlfriend, and he never had plans to marry her. For months, they wouldn't see each other, and John would date other women. So John never really broke up with Stephanie. Instead, they drifted apart, and then he got involved with Sherry. When he started dating Sherry, Stephanie was a police officer with the Los Angeles Police Department. She had been hired on in March 1983. John told the investigators that a few weeks after he and Sherry got engaged, Stephanie called him, and she was crying. She asked him to come over. John said when he got to Stephanie's home, she said she was sad that he was getting married and asked to sleep with him one more time. He said he had sex with her. In the summer of 1985, Stephanie went to Sherry's workplace and told Sherry that she and John had sex recently. Sherry told John about the encounter and he admitted that he did have sex with Stephanie, but he promised it was over with her. John said he only wanted to be with her. Sherry seemingly accepted his apology and they got married that winter. The detectives then talked to Sherry's parents, Nels and Loretta. They had never believed that their daughter was killed in a robbery gone wrong. They thought that the killer was a woman who had formerly dated John Rudden. They didn't know her name, but they knew she was a police officer. Months before John and Sherry got married, the woman came into Sherry's office. She was dressed provocatively in exercise clothes. She told Sherry that if she couldn't have John, no one could. Then, in mid-January 1985, a month before the murder, Sherry called her parents in tears. She told her parents she had stayed home from work that morning to do some work. She found Stephanie in the living room. She said that it looked like Stephanie was on break from work, implying that she was wearing her police uniform. Stephanie said she was there to see John. Sherry told Stephanie that she didn't want her seeing John anymore and told her to get out. Sherry also told her parents that she thought she was being followed by a woman who was disguising herself as a man. Nels and Loretta contacted the police several times and asked them to investigate the ex-girlfriend, but they never did. The cold case detectives thought that Stephanie Lazarus was a very plausible suspect. Police officers with the LAPD often buy a personal gun and register it. Stephanie did that, but she reported her gun stolen a few weeks after Sherry's murder. The detectives did not think that was a coincidence. In March 2009, the cold case investigators brought what they had to their superiors. Their superiors got the Internal Affairs Group Special Operations Section involved in the investigation. It was decided that they should secretly get a DNA sample from Stephanie. Investigators followed her to Costco and saw that she had a snack and a drink outside the store. They collected the cup and straw that she used. DNA was pulled from it, and it was compared to the DNA from the bite mark on Sherry's arm. It was a match. In June 2009, the detectives interviewed Stephanie Lazarus. Here's part of that interrogation.
Do you know John Rutten?
John Rutten?
Rutten.
Yeah, I mean, we dated. You know, I mean, what's this all about?
Well, it's relating to his wife.
Okay.
Okay, did you know her?
Not really.
Did you ever meet her?
God, I don't know.
How long did you guys date?
I mean, well, are you guys, is this something, I mean, you said I was going to interview somebody about art. I don't understand why you're talking about some guy I dated a million years ago.
Well, do you know what happened to his wife?
Yeah, I know she got killed.
A detective asked Stephanie if she had ever met Sherry.
I may have. Yeah, I may have met her at a hospital. I may have talked to her once or twice.
Some of Sherry's friends said that you and her were having a problem because of the John situation. Words are being exchanged, and it's all relating to John.
You know what? I can't say.
You can't say?
No, that doesn't even ring a bell.
Stephanie was also asked if she had ever been to John and Sherry's condo. Stephanie said she wasn't sure, but she didn't think so. About an hour in, this is how the interrogation went.
Did you ever fight with her?
You mean like we fought?
Yeah. Did you ever duke it out with her?
No, I don't think so. I mean...
You'd remember that, right? That would be pretty...
Yeah, I would think so.
You're right.
I mean, if you guys are claiming that I'm a suspect, then, you know, I got a problem with, you know, with that. I mean, I'm shocked. I'm really shocked that somebody would be saying that I did this. I mean, we had a fight, and so I went and killed her. I mean, come on.
Well,
that's...
Okay.
All right.
Of course, by the time they interrogated Stephanie, the detectives had already talked to John and Sherry's parents. Also, DNA had proved Stephanie was the one who bit Sherry. At the end of the interview, they arrested Stephanie Lazarus.
You know you have the right to remain silent. Do you understand?
Yes.
Anything you say may be used against you in court. Do you understand?
Yes.
It had been over 23 years since Sherry Rasmussen was murdered. Stephanie Lazarus went to trial in February 2012. The trial lasted for 3 weeks. The most damning evidence was the DNA from the bite mark. The jury deliberated for nearly 2 days. They found 51-year-old Stephanie Lazarus guilty of first-degree murder. In March 2012, she was sentenced to 27 years to life in prison. She'll be eligible for parole in 2034 when she's 73 years old. Currently, 61-year-old Stephanie Lazarus is serving her sentence at the California Institution for Women in Corona, California. Nels and Loretta Rasmussen sued the LAPD for their handling of the case. They pointed out that they were ignored when they asked them to investigate John's ex-girlfriend several times. It turned out that there was no record in the case file of them requesting that they investigate John's ex-girlfriend, who turned out to be the killer. Nels and Loretta's lawsuit also pointed out that crucial evidence, like the swab, was mishandled. It turned out that Stephanie was a detective with the Van Nuys department for several years, so she would have had access to Sherry's murder file. But their case was dismissed because they had taken too long to file the lawsuit. Several people also have questions about John Rudden's possible involvement or knowledge of the murder. Why didn't he tell the police about Stephanie after the murder? Sherry's friends and family thought it was odd that he would leave the area after the murder. Why didn't he stay and advocate for the case to be solved? Also, he clearly didn't stay in contact with his former parents-in-law. For decades, Nels and Loretta had no idea what his ex-girlfriend's name was. Also, in the years after the murder, John and Stephanie met up several times. In 1989, they went on a scuba diving trip together in Hawaii. In 1990, John moved back to Los Angeles and he and Stephanie reconnected. John thought that they had sex a couple times after he moved back to Los Angeles. Plus, some people find it odd that Sherry just happened to be murdered on a day when she was at home alone. How did Stephanie know that Sherry would be home alone? Also, John and Sherry had a security system, but John didn't set it before leaving for the day. He had also neglected to lock the front door, which is how Stephanie got inside. Some people do not believe that John was actually involved in the murder, but they think he may have helped cover it up for Stephanie after the fact. John has always claimed he had nothing to do with the murder of his wife. No evidence connects him to the murder, and the police have never said he is a person of interest.
This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you. This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you.